Hello everyone, this is Steve Nelson from BreakpointTrades.com and this is the General Market Analysis newsletter for Sunday, August 1st. Matt will also be doing a commodities newsletter later. We've been discussing all morning, afternoon, various charts, so I'm sure he'll have that out in the not-too-distant future. I'm going to do my best to keep this relatively brief and focus in on and spend some additional time preparing some individual stock setups that I've been working on, and I'm going to post those on the blog and send those out probably via email for you to watch. Currently, the futures are trading up approximately 8 points. And we'll see how that plays out. The dollar has weakened a little bit, aiding the futures, and I guess the Chinese PMI came out a little better than expected. So we're going to go over the market analysis in depth, but I just wanted to point out, as of this time, which is about 6:30 p.m. West Coast time, the futures are up about 8 points. Okay, in terms of last week, mixed week, we saw the Dow and Russell have fractional gains with the other indexes posting fractional losses. A ho-hum week, as you will see on the weekly chart below, you'll see a doji candlestick marking an indecision candle after the previous week's advance. So we'll take a look at that in depth further. In terms of sectors, you can see also a mixed bag there with the semiconductors and home builders pulling back and a couple of the other sectors moving up, most notably some of the financially related sectors. In terms of economic releases, we do have some tomorrow. Construction spending and the ISM, both are coming out at 10 o'clock Eastern, so a half hour into trading. Please make note of that. And then throughout the week, we've got further releases headlined by the non-farm payrolls on Friday. So please be aware, we do have some economic data that can be market moving throughout the week. And then, of course, we are still in the heart of earnings. As you can see in Table 3, Chart 3, we've got a ton of companies scheduled to report earnings next week. Take heed if you are trading individual stocks, any that may be reporting earnings. Okay, let's move into the industry market analysis, looking at Chart 4. Chart 4, it's just a beautiful, simple chart that shows the indexes accompanied by their weekly Bollinger Bands. And as you can see, we are now back up against the 20-week moving average, which is the middle Bollinger Band. You can see bouncing off of the lower band, back up against the middle Bollinger Band. That is normally the initial target after bouncing off of the lower or upper band, and here we are. We have not been able to close above this area decisively, so we'll be watching for that this week to see if the market can extend this move and get back above the middle Bollinger Band on the weekly time frame. Right now, it is still resistance. This is pertinent to look at each Friday afternoon after the close. Chart 5 is a daily view of the indexes with their daily Bollinger Bands. Here you can see, and Matt talked about it when I was gone, that we moved up to the towards the upper Bollinger Band on many of the indexes, pulled back. We're still holding above the 20-day moving average. You can see on all the indexes. In fact, the NDX and NASDAQ on Friday tagged their 20-day moving average or came close to it and responded off of that area. So the daily bands are in a bullish configuration where we are above the 20-day moving average, and we'll see how things unfold there. Just a simple snapshot on the indexes on the weekly and daily time frames. In terms of Chart 6, this is a chart Matt showed to you when I was gone. Shows all of the major averages, major indexes, excuse me, with a little pattern, like a little falling wedge type pattern. What we want to watch for here on any type of pullback is that we remain above the upper trend line. That was resistance. Now it should serve as support. A break back below that area, back into the pattern, would not be constructive for the bullish case. Chart 7, monthly view. I'm going to start out with the longer term view. See a monthly view on the S&P. One thing to take note of here is that the monthly on the S&P still remains above the 20-month moving average. We first got over that back in November 2009. You can see we got back over that. We've remained above that area. We came down, actually kind of retested that area on the 10-10 lows, close to it, and have responded. Last month was a strong up month. I think the index has moved up approximately 8%, a very strong up month. And that did a lot of, went a long way to negate the previous declines of the 2 months. Overall, we still see a mixed message on the monthly chart. We are above the 20-month moving average, but below our 89 and 144-month moving averages. We see the MACD still in a bearish configuration below the zero area, but it is above its signal line. So we need to see that begin to get back above the zero area to indicate that this uptrend is going to extend over time. For now, it's, I guess, best described as neutral above its signal line below the zero area. We do see the stochastics have rolled over. They are still pointing down. We see the MACD histogram also making slightly lower lows. So in the bigger picture, we are above our key support area, but we need to see more evidence that this uptrend is going to sustain over time by breaking above and seeing our momentum indicators get back above the zero area on the MACD. Enough said, it's a monthly chart. Chart 8, weekly view of the S&P, and this is a linear chart. You can see that I've got a rising channel in place, but within that rising channel, you can see the little falling wedge that the S&P broke out of. It moved up, and then I was talking about a doji candlestick. You can see that the doji candlestick has a long-legged top and bottom. We had an indecisive week. Overall, the S&P closed down 1 point from open to close. You can see that during the week, though, it traded up as high as 1121 and as low as 1088. Thus, we have an indecision, and it's sitting right now just above its 50-week moving average. So while it's just below its 20-week, it is above its 50-week moving average. That is somewhat constructive. So again, we need to see further evidence here of what may be materializing. So with that in terms of price, so the next thing we'll do is we'll look at our indicators. Right now, on the weekly time frame, our indicators are pointing up. On RSI, full stochastics are pointing up. Our MACD on our 1226.9 is seeing the histogram bars continually move higher. We have yet to see a bullish cross in terms of the weekly MACD above its signal line. That will be also something I'm watching for to see if this can rally can extend. For now, the MACD is trending in the right direction, but has yet to give us a bullish cross. So overall, the weekly is still constructive. It's still pointing higher on the majority of the indicators, yet we have an indecision candle that appeared on Friday. So what is this telling us? This is telling us to take profits along the way. We've seen a lot of our watch list picks break out and then pull back. And then this is what you have in a choppy type environment. So take profits along the way until a trend is established and shows that it's a strong trend confirmed by all indicators. So for now, we are recommending, as we always recommend, taking some partial profits on any sharp move and then trailing an appropriate stop, whether you're trading indexes or ETFs or stocks. It makes sense, especially in this environment. In terms of the daily chart, you can see that we bounced off of the 34 EMA. We're still below the RSI 60 area that I've been watching. We did have some slight negative RSI divergence on our 5 RSI 5 at those recent highs when I returned. We pulled back, and now we're attempting to bounce. Mixed signals on the daily with most of the indicators still pointing upward, but we're going to keep our eye on the daily MACD, which, unlike the weekly, is above its signal line, above zero, but is starting to lose some upside momentum. We need to see upside momentum pick up here to indicate that prices want to continue to track higher. And I'm going to discuss that on the intraday charts below. Chart 10 is another view of the S&P showing the type of pattern we're seeing off the lows. We could be forming some type of wedge pattern. And this is what I'm talking about. In order to negate this wedge pattern, on any further move to the upside, we need to see momentum increase. So at this stage, the jury's still out. We're trading between the support and resistance trend lines that I've drawn in here, and we did find support above the 20 and 50-day moving average on Friday's pullback. Chart 11 is a different weekly view of the S&P showing a linear chart. And here I'm just throwing out a scenario. Should we pull back the potential here to form maybe a right shoulder, fill the gap at 1170, and then move up? But again, at this stage, this is purely hypothetical. And if we move up and break above these downtrend line here on the weekly chart, then the inverse head and shoulders pattern that I'm looking to potentially form may not play out. So again, let's just table that for now and move on to the intraday charts on the S&P. Chart 12 is a 60-minute view of the S&P, and this is what I'm getting at. If you look at the 1121 high versus the 1099 high, you can see that the RSI 14 did not make a higher high, nor did it on the MACD. So that high was not confirmed, thus it's reasonable to expect some type of pullback. Where was the pullback contained? So far at the rising trend line off of the early July lows. So the question here is, are we moving up in a 1, 2, 3, 4 and moving up now in a fifth wave, diverging wedge type formation that once complete should resolve to the downside? Or are we going to see momentum pick up, blow through these resistance areas, and move higher and negate this potential rising wedge pattern? Only time will tell. For now, I would focus in on the rising trend line as a support area. A break back below the 1088-89 area would not be constructive and would open up the door to, at a minimum, a deeper downside move, likely initially targeting the open gap that remains around 1070 to 1072.5. That would be the initial target, followed by our lower support areas. In fact, should we turn down right from here, and it's unlikely with what the futures are doing, we could say we have a little head and shoulders type top, which would measure back down towards the 1056 area. But again, going upon the futures action so far tonight, it looks like the market wants to probe higher. First of all, it's got to clear and get back above the previous high around the 1115 area and then back above the 1121 area. We'll take it one day at a time, but we'll respect and be cognizant of these prevailing trend lines and the patterns it's forming on the intraday charts. Chart 13, this is a chart I showed, and I've updated it slightly from Thursday night's update. I altered the lower trend line just a hair to match it up with the long-term rising trend line off of the early July lows. But you can see that we did find support right around or near that trend line, as well as the 50% Fibonacci retracement off of the move from 1056 to 1120. So the question here is, are we seeing the start of another impulse wave up or not? So again, we've got a potential rising wedge pattern that has completed 1, 2, 3, 4. We're now moving up in wave 5. The bearish alternative was we've completed an ABC and we've already started a downtrend. Under that case, we will not move up and break out above the 1120 area. will instead form a lower high and then turn down. The bullish alternative would be that it's a 1-2, with 1 being 1099, 2 being 1056, and then a small 1-2 at 1121, 1088, which should then be followed by a very powerful 3-of-3 move up. That would be the count that would serve to negate this rising wedge. So again, we'll take it one day at a time and keep you posted along the way. I do have some of these counts shown, as you can see, on charts 15 and 16. I just discussed them. Again, you can see the bullish count and the bearish view here. And again, we'll see how things unfold and keep you posted. I think the best thing to do is, unless you're trading the indices, keep, be cognizant of the key support and resistance areas and focus in on what you're trading, whether that's an ETF, an individual stock, several individual stocks, and trade what they are telling you. Too many people want to know exactly what's going on with the market, and then they get scared of trading an individual stock. Well, not all individual stocks mirror exactly what's going on in the S&P. So have a plan and trade around that plan according to your objectives and risk tolerance. The setups that we place on the watch list are objective, and if they break out, and I gave an example of this just recently, with volume, trigger, go with them. If they're triggering on volume, you have a solid trigger, you have a stop in place, and play them, and then trade them in accordance with your objectives. While being innocent that recently what's been successful is at least taking some partial profits along the way. I don't think it ever hurts to take partial profits, maybe trail a stop on the remaining portion. Too many people I hear are frustrated that they've given back profits. Well, if you make 5, 6, 7% on an initial move, take some off the table or sell it all and wait for the next setup. Those add up over a period of time. Okay, the next several charts pertain to the other indexes. I'm going to skip over these charts. You can see that I've drawn in the type of patterns that I see on the S&P on all of the charts. Outside of the Russell, I will skip down to the Russell. The Russell is a little stronger looking to me than the other indexes. On its most recent move up to 672, there was no divergence in place. The MACD, the RSI, made a new high on that push. Now, this is a secondary index, and the Russell tends to overshoot and undershoot, but I think it's noteworthy pointing out that these small cap, and it is 2,000 stocks, did have a confirming MACD and RSI move on that push to 672. So this chart in particular would argue for a retest of highs over time, considering that there was no divergence on that latest push. Again, we respect price action, and if it wants to turn down, we'll act accordingly, but that was something I wanted to point out. In terms of the various levels to watch on all of these index, be mindful of the rising trend line that's in place on all of these indexes. In terms of our long-term indicators, and again, I'm getting back up to speed because a lot of these have changed since I was gone. We saw that a lot of the indicators were beginning to shift to a bullish on the intermediate term on both the S&P and NASDAQ, and while I was away, many more switched over to bullish, and now we see all of the intermediate term indicators have moved over to the bullish column. That doesn't mean that the market has to go up. We're just pointing out at this time they have swung to a positive bias. Okay, in terms of our indicators, you can see a few of them here. The NYSI, you can see that this too has moved slightly positive, more of a, and this is the longer term summation adjusted indicator. But again, these are guidelines, and they are to be viewed in the time frame that you're trading, intermediate term or longer term. And again, the way to be successful in trading is to have a plan and stick to it. If you are an intermediate term trader, you've got to go through and play a lot of whipsaws, gyrations in the market. When the market is trading in a choppy, topsy-turvy, it can be quite testing. Whereas if you're a shorter-term trader, then you look to book profits quicker. So again, on our watch list suggestions, what we've seen predominantly here is the people who are taking profits or at least partial profits on an initial move have been more successful recently. So again, until the market has given us enough evidence that it's absolutely trending up in a strong move, I would say that you want to book some profits, at least partial profits, on any good quick move. Heck, there's nothing wrong, like I said, with a 5, 6, 7% move in a matter of days. In terms of other simple charts here that we'll discuss, we can see that the 1334 is in a slight bearish configuration. The 13 EMA has gone slightly below the 34 EMA only by, you know, roughly a point or so on Friday's close. This is something we'll be watching for as a trending indicator going forward, as well as the 50 and 200 EMA. That, too, is at a slight bearish cross, ever so slight at this time. So, again, these are guidelines. They, by themselves, are not triggers. They are to be used as guidelines. I view them similar to EW in terms of mapping. They give me a map of what's going on in the bigger picture with regard to the index they're following. Now let's move on and look at the rates. Because I had a discussion, and I'm down on chart 35 now, back in early July about the fact that the yields and treasuries in general, okay, were leading the S&P. Now, let's make the assumption that this is still in place. So the question we had back in early July was, did we complete a five-wave downtrend, or did we have another leg up and then another pullback? It's still unclear. But one thing that has been clear is that treasuries have been leading the market. So we saw back in April Treasury yields topped out before the S&P began to fall, and that precipitated a decline in the S&P. We saw a subsequent rally, led to a bounce in the S&P, another decline, another bounce, etc., etc. Now, this isn't necessarily perfectly correlated. We've seen the treasuries lead by up to 3-4 days at a time, even longer at a time. So just because we saw the Treasury sell off and yields sell off, yields go lower over the past couple of sessions, does not mean that the S&P is going to immediately sell off. So the question here is this too just a temporary dip in yields and it's going to recover? That's the first assumption. Or are Treasury yields going to continue to move lower and eventually pull the S&P downward? Not sure. The first assumption we have to make is, will the relationship remain intact? And that relationship is that if yields are going to continue to move down, in other words, a flight to safety, money moving out of equities and into Treasuries, will that continue? Or are we going to see a risk trade pick up? We're clearly, over the last three sessions, we've seen money rotate into treasuries and thus yields come down, and thus we've seen a slight pullback so far in the S&P. Should this continue and the relationship remain intact, then the S&P is likely to break to the downside. Again, we're under the assumption that this relationship will remain intact over time, and that's something that we'll continue to track. Enough said. Chart 36 just shows a closer view of the TNX. Again, you can see the downtrend that's remained in place. Thus, we'll be watching to see if this turns around, breaks the downtrend line, maybe leading aiding the S&P or giving us clues that the S&P wants to move higher, or if it's going to continue to move to the downside. Our indicators, by the way, on the TNX, and this is the yield, are still pointing up. They are not strong, but most of the indicators are still pointing up. Yes, they are facing some resistance, but our MACD has yet to cross over to the downside. So again, we can see several of these charts. They all point out the same thing that I've been discussing. Chart 38 does a nice job of showing these relationships, showing the S&P directly tied into the 30-year Treasury. And then as you can see above in chart 37, I show the S&P tied into the 10-year note yield. So you can study those. The relationship there has been inverse in terms of treasuries and stocks, but they've been perfectly correlated on yields. As yields have dropped, money's flowed into treasuries, money has, as yields have dropped, money's flown into treasuries, the stock market has pulled back, money shifting from one asset class to another. So again, we'll be watching this, and clearly, one thing you can see though, while treasuries are moving up, you can see that there is divergence here in place. Chart 39 really shows that, something to be mindful of. Even if they do break to the upside, it may become a divergent high and flip over to the downside. So maybe another scenario here is, and I don't want to get too complicated, is that the equities are anticipating this and won't follow in a perfect correlated structure. So again, nothing is set in stone, but this has been a good guideline and something we'll watch going forward. It simply means it's a way to track money flowing from one asset class to another, driving the opposite asset class up or down. Another factor that we've been tracking in terms of monitoring the market indicator has been the action in copper, some of the base metals. You can see that copper has been leading the S&P. It led in the decline. It's leading in the advance. So far, copper has broken out, unlike the S&P, of a small little inverse head and shoulders pattern, and has been making higher highs here recently, while the S&P has not. So, is this indicating that the S&P wants to follow and track higher? Possibly. We'll continue to watch, but this is one indicator that's telling us to not get overly bearish as of yet, as copper has been trending up. Same is true here with the CRB, as it broke out of a declining channel. The CRB represents 19 various commodities. Now, granted, a lot of these commodities are benefiting from the weakness we've seen in the U.S. dollar, and that's another item that we need to continue to track. As the dollar has been weakening over time, that has also aided the effort in the S&P rallying. So in essence, we've got a myriad of mixed signals overall in the market. For now, the majority of the indicators are still pointing up. We have been trending to the upside in the bigger picture, and thus we have to respect that. Near term, we're still making lower lows and lower highs. So when I talk about conflicting signals, it's exactly that. Near term, we've seen a slight decline here over the past several three, four sessions, with the indexes making lower lows and lower highs. But in the bigger picture, they are making higher highs and higher lows. Thus, we have this wedge-type formation that's developing. So we'll see what develops early next week. My focus is going to be on tonight on trying to find some additional quality setups, and we'll keep you posted in terms of what we're seeing on the markets in the trading community beginning early on Monday. Thanks, take care, and have a great evening.